Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be at this morning. So however you engage with Scripture, I encourage you to find Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're making your way there, I invite us and encourage us to be still for just a few moments, to be silent, to kind of settle ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, before we dive into the Word of God together. So let's take a few moments to be still. Please pray with me. Father, in the hustle of a Sunday morning where so many of us have been rushing since we got out of bed, we ask God that you would help us to be still. Help us to be present. Help us, God, to love you with our minds right now as we engage in Scripture. Father, help me as I communicate to your people in a way that would draw them closer to the cross, draw them closer to Jesus, draw them closer to your truth about how we should understand the times that we live in and how we should respond. Father, as always, our prayer is that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is motivated to follow you. No matter the day, age, time, and history that we find ourselves in, Father, we want to follow King Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Understanding the times. This entire month of January, we are focusing on one single verse out of a very strange and often neglected book called Chronicles. It's not, in its original form, it's not 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In its Hebrew form, it's Chronicles. And it's found at the end of the Hebrew Bible, not in the middle of our Protestant Old Testament Bibles that we have. And within this often neglected, often ignored long text. I mean, it's not like you're reading one of Paul's letters and you can do it in 30 minutes. If you sat down and read Chronicles, it's going to take you a while. You're going to need multiple cups of coffee, a 5-hour energy, and a monster to get you going and get you through the text. It's long, it's powerful, and it's good, but it's often neglected. But within this book called Chronicles, there is a statement found in chapter 12, verse 32, where groups of ancient Israelites in their tribes, there were certain men from a certain clan. So 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, up on the screen, please. Oh, you're going to make me find it in my Bible. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. So we've been asking this question throughout the month of January. Are we willing to focus, to sit down and settle, and not get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of everything that's going on, but to understand the times in which we are living, socially, politically, theologically, historically? Are we willing to sit down and wrestle and grapple with understanding the times that we live in? And how are we going to respond? Once we come up with some understanding, once we get somewhat of a grasp of what's going on in our day and age, how do we understand it? And how are we going to respond to it? And there's lots of information out there. There are lots of influencers. There are lots of talking heads. There's lots of YouTube channels. There's lots of TikTok videos that one can watch. There's lots of news anchors. There's lots of news stations that are going to be pumping into us. This is how you understand the times that you live in, and this is how you are to respond. Some of those are good. We have to be honest. Some of those are good, and some of those are helpful. And then we have to be honest as well. Some of them are not good. Some of those voices are not helpful. So that's a direction with which we are taking the month of January. There is a powerful passage at the end of a book called Judges. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king, and everybody did as they saw fit. Now, for the church, that's never the case. For the church that belongs to Jesus, we always have a king. It's King Jesus. And we don't do however we see fit. We live our lives according to the rule and reign of Jesus because we live under and we live in his kingdom. But how do we live in a world under the lordship of Jesus in the kingdom of God in a context that has no king? Where we pay attention to our culture and the climate of our culture, where we pay attention to the moral compass of the age in which we live in when everybody does as he or she sees fit. We understand that, but how do we engage with it? And how do we understand and live out the times that we live in? There is one helpful passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Paul is encouraging this young pastor. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So he urges followers of Jesus to pray. To use different expressions of prayer, but to make sure that before you go and be active, before you go and raise your voice, before you make objections or clarifications or whatever it may be to the culture at large, that first and foremost you need to be what? It's not hard, church. First of all, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. And here's the direction of the prayers that young Timothy was to instruct the followers of Jesus. To pray for kings and those in authority so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and all holiness. So one step, one proactive means of being active in this world is to be in prayer. To be in prayer for what's going on in our culture. To be in prayer for those who are in authority over certain waves of influence that go about within our culture and in our times. Maybe our best weapon that we're not doing enough of is praying. Week one, we looked at Psalm chapter 1. And within Psalm chapter 1, there is this direction that the psalmist is giving about how the people of God should pay attention to the world, to the realms and to the influences of those who are feeding our ears, our minds, and our hearts. And one direction to take Psalm chapter 1 is to have this inventory of awareness. That we focus, that we pay attention to who we sit in front of. To who we walk with, to where we take stands, and to have an inventory of awareness that wherever it is that we're getting our information from, that how we're going about understanding the times that we live in, that we do not neglect the Word of God, Jesus Himself, and the words of God, the biblical story that we have. Because the psalmist is very clear about two different types of people that set up. Those who pay attention to the words of God. They're like a tree planted by streams of water. The results of that life is the fruit of their life shows where the root of their life is. Whatever they do prospers, according to the psalmist. Whatever they do, they're getting better, they're getting better, they're getting better, they're getting better. The fruit of their life is bearing witness to the root of their life. Psalm 1 presents us with an inventory of awareness for us to take to heart, for us to take seriously that which you and I give our attention to. Because that which we give our attention to forms us and shapes us. It's formation information. Dallas Willard refers to formation information in the spiritual life as this. He says, spiritual formation is not just about behavior modification. That does come. But what matters for us to pay attention to is about the sources of our behavior. Because once we change the sources of our behavior, our behavior will eventually catch up. The behavior will follow once we change the sources of it. So we feed our hearts and our minds on the words of God so that we will be like trees planted by streams of water. Good fruit connected to the good source and foundation of life. And last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, the latter half of Ephesians chapter 2, where I presented this phrase, this gospel imaginative perspective, or this gospel imaginative awareness of how Paul sees a result of the cross. Paul definitely believes in the forgiveness of sins when it comes to the cross of Jesus and what the cross accomplished. But that's not the only result that Paul sees of what the cross of Jesus accomplished. Paul is very bold and very powerful in his language there about ethnic groups who spend an awful lot of time and an awful lot of hard work building up the dividing wall of hostility, Paul says. This barrier that divides us versus them. And Paul looks back on the cross and he says, the cross of Jesus broke it down. Why are you busy building it back up? Why are you busy building up us versus them? The power of the cross of Jesus tore the dividing wall of hostility down. It's a part of what's known as cruciformity. And what Martin Luther came up with is starology, this theology of the cross. What did the cross of Jesus do to human history? What did the cross of Jesus do for humankind and to humankind? And for those who have pledged themselves to Jesus, the cross of Jesus broke down the dividing wall of hostility amongst ethnic groups. The world is going to do what the world is going to do. Whatever you listen to throughout the week, your news, whatever it may be, your Michigan, Ohio State, your Tennessee, Alabama, Tennessee beat Florida and Alabama in the same week. So I ignored Ephesians 2 this week. There was definitely an us versus them. But the dividing wall of hostility that we put up amongst each other, Paul says, Jesus tore it down. Jesus tore it down. So for this morning, I invite us to hear. It's a longer section. But in the context of understanding the times and how we are to respond, what the church, what I, what my family should be doing, Ephesians 5 has a word for us. So follow along with me in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. What must I do in the days that I find myself living in? I focus on walking in the way of love. I set my mind in my direction. I set the compass of my heart and my attention to walking in the way of love. Just as. So it's not making up love however I want love to be and whatever I want love to look like. I walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there is a standard with which love looks like as we walk out the way of love. The standard is not culture. The standard is not any influencer. The standard is not news. The standard is not a president. The standard is not government. The standard is not whatever else you want to put in the place of it is. The standard is Jesus. We walk in the way of love just like Jesus. And then he goes ethics here. He goes morals. He goes, here is one way of walking out the way of love. Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for the Lord's people. So as you walk in the way of love, just like Jesus, you pay attention to ethics. You pay attention to lifestyle. You pay attention to morals. You pay attention to where your heart is in regards to sexuality. You pay attention to where your heart is when it comes to money. You pay attention. Nor should there be any obscenity, any foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but instead thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, which is one of those things, is you can rest on this. If you want a foundation on which to stand on, you can stand on this. No immoral, impure, or greedy person. Such a person is an idolater. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God? This is difficult language for us to hear. This isn't any type of language that we like to hear, but it's still true. And just because it's hard doesn't mean that we have to ignore it or quickly read past it as if it's not there. Paul is saying here that ethics and morals matter. Make sure as you go about understanding the times and as you go about reacting to the times that you are living in, make sure your morals and ethics are in check. Make sure your morals and ethics and sexuality is in check. Make sure your morals and ethics when it comes to money and become that which you crave is in check. Because you can be sure of this. Anybody, any follower of Jesus, he's talking about Christians here. Any follower of Jesus that is giving their allegiance to these other things, they have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. In fact, and instead, they're living counter to the rule and reign of God. These are warning passages. These are wake-up passages. These are passages that are meant to get our attention and wake us up and get us to respond and to repent and to go back to the way of life. Way of love, just like Jesus. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Wait a second, Michael, you preached all last week about us versus them getting broke down. Paul sets up here a claim for followers of Jesus to pay attention to who has our ears. And for us to pay attention to who is feeding us and what they are feeding us. And if they are feeding us things that are counter to the kingdom of God, don't have anything to do with them. Do not be partners with them. Do not give them your attention. Do not give them your ear. Don't have anything to do with them. For you, guess what you is? plural. For y'all were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, in all righteousness, in all truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Redeeming the times is literally there what it means in Greek. Be careful how you live. Redeem the times that you are living in. Because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be dumb. Don't be foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to stupidity, which leads to debauchery, which leads to, "I have no king, I'll live however I want to live," which leads to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Long section, right? A lot here. But I think if we took the time to sit in this, to wrestle with this, we would have another way of looking at how we understand the times and how we react and how we respond to the times that we live in. And for some of us, it's going to be a part of this baptismal poem here. It's a baptism poem. You'll find it in Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Rise up, O sleeper." For some of us in here, we need to wake up. For some of us, we have been lured to sleep by our culture. And we need to wake up. And we need to respond. Instead of letting the evil have its way, we need to be a little bit more vocal in exposing it. Not in condemnation, but in truth and in love, when we speak the truth in love. But we need to wake up. We need to rise up from the dead and let Christ shine on us with truth. There are seven things that I want us to pay attention to in this very long section, which, by the way, is all one really, really long run-on sentence in Greek. He doesn't stop to breathe. He just goes. And it's a run-on, and it runs, and it runs, and it runs. And our English people in here that love English, and it would give them the shakes, and it would just make them go crazy. It just goes, and it goes, and it goes. And he does it on purpose. It's not like one of those one-liners that you just stop and just sit on. No, he wants you to go throughout it all. He wants you to journey through this and then respond to it. So the first one is this, and it always begins this way, as it should always begin. This is an awareness of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. Throughout this series, what it's kind of evolving into from week to week is simply waking up, is being aware of what's going on and how to respond. So the first one here in this very long section is this unyielding, powerful declaration of awareness of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. and that love fueling everything we do? And what does the love of Jesus require of me in this situation? So when it comes to responding to the times, some of us, like me, bring out kind of the zealousness within us, get a little passionate, get a little fired up, get a little angry when we respond to some of the things that are going on in our culture. And I have to pause and I have to step back and I have to ask myself, okay, in this situation that I find myself, what does the love of Jesus require me to do? I can still speak the truth about whatever it is, but how do I speak the truth in love? How do I respond to this in a way that speaks the truth in love? What does the love of Jesus require of me in this situation? And as we saw, there is this transition to another awareness. There's an awareness of morals. There's an awareness of ethics. There's an awareness of lifestyle. Intimacy, morals, open-handed versus tight-fisted when it comes to greed. Last year when we looked at the seven deadly sins and we looked at avarice, we looked at greed. It literally means to crave, to want more and more and more because the desire is never satisfied. So there's constant feed, more and more and more. Open-fisted, open-handed, or tight-fisted. To crave, to more. When we think of Ebenezer Scrooge or we think of Gollum, we think of those two characters. There's a third awareness right after the morals and the ethics and the lifestyle are referenced and talked about. It's an awareness of our language and what it does through us onto others. So what approach do we take to the words that come out of our mouths? What language does to others as it comes out of us? There's a fourth awareness. There's an awareness of who has your ears. Be careful about the deceivers that are out there. Be careful about those who are getting your ear and what type of person you are becoming because they have your ear. An awareness of who we are giving our attention to. The fifth one is an awareness of what you repented from. You were once darkness. Paul doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't kind of glance over it. He is just very real and very raw and very honest. You were once darkness. So what did you repent from? It's an awareness of what you and I repented from when we came into the light. It's an awareness of what you and I repented from and to keep track on that repentance. To keep moving forward in that repentance. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Keep on track with that. The sixth one is an awareness of wisdom. As I said, the literal language there used in verse 16 is redeeming the times. It is buying back the times that which you and I are living in. So in our understanding of the times and in our response to it, how are we redeeming the time that we live in? How are we buying it back? There is a clip from The Lord of the Rings. I've done sports, so Michael's bingo checklist. I've got sports check. Now I've got Lord of the Rings reference check. In this clip, we'll watch it all.
The ring has never come to me.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Carmen. In this clip, there is this moment in the movie where Frodo is just really, really overwhelmed with him having the Ring of Power. and what he is to do with it. And he makes this very, very like powerful statement, moving statement. He's like, I wish the ring would never have come to me. I wish that this would never have happened to me. Yeah, it's a pity moment. It's a woe is me type of moment, but it's real and it's authentic. And what the conversation between he and Gandalf is really rich and really powerful when we pay attention to the times with which we live in. Because how many of us look back and like, you know what, in the 80s, it was crazy, but it was a lot easier. We look back at the 60s and like, yeah, it was crazy, but it wasn't as crazy. And we look at the 50s. We look back at the times and we're like, I wish we weren't in this time in history. I wish we were living back then or whatever it may be. And what Gandalf says is really, really powerful, and it connects to the direction with which we are going with this Understanding the Time series. Now, Miss Carmen, press play. Thank you.
I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened.
So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you also were meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought.
All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. All of life is a gift. Even this crazy time that we find ourselves in, it's still a gift. And what we do with the time that we have gifted to us is what matters. So how are we prayerfully active, redeeming the times that we live in? And to answer that question, you're going to have to pay attention to the awarenesses. You're going to have to pay attention to the awarenesses of inventory that you feed yourself with. You're going to have to pay attention to the awarenesses of what the cross of Jesus accomplished as it broke down the us versus them. You're going to have to pay attention to the awarenesses that Paul references here in Ephesians chapter 5 of all that we need to be paying attention to. And one of the most powerful awareness that Paul mentions is awareness number 7. Awareness of what you are filling yourself with. Paul says, instead of all this other stuff that you could fill your minds and your guts and your heart with, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, which in its original Greek is present passive, which means it's a one-time thing that keeps on going. It's not a past tense. It's not a, well, it happened and it's done. It's a, you were filled with the Spirit and you are still at work being filled by the Spirit. Which for some of us should be a wake-up call. For some of us that should be, oh my goodness, is that what took place this morning? Even though we sang only a cappella songs this morning? And the answer to that is absolutely. When you listen to 95.5 or 91.9, give Gabriel a shout out real quick, in the morning. You're filling yourselves with the Spirit. When you've got only 30 seconds and you say a prayer, or you've got 45 seconds and you read a quick line out of the Word of God, what are you doing? You are filling yourself with the Spirit. What are we filling ourselves with day in and day out? Keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. And then Paul says, this is how you do it. You speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. You sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. So even in your thankfulness prayers, you are filling yourself with the Spirit, according to Paul in this passage. Even when you sing a hymn that you don't really like, you're still proactively filling yourself with the Spirit. And you can do this alone throughout the week, absolutely. But one thing I hope that maybe we've woken up to this morning just a little bit is that it's happening right here, right now. As we sing, as we pray, as we take communion together, when we do these spiritual practices together, week in and week out, we are filling ourselves with the Spirit of God, according to Paul. It's not just a one-time thing and you're done. It is a proactive thing that we are constantly doing every time we pray, every time to sing together, every time we hear the Word of God together. We are filling ourselves with the Spirit. Praise team, y'all, come on up, please. As we close this morning, and after you've heard me give a lot of information, a lot of awarenesses, a lot of things to ponder and to sit on and to wrestle with, what I want us to do, and in whatever way that you think you may be able to do, is to pause for a moment and to think back. And you may need to pray, God, help me think back of everything that has taken place this morning since we've been together. And God, wake me up to something. Open my mind, open my imagination, open my heart to a song, to something revealed in Ephesians chapter 5 that I needed to hear this morning. Maybe even it's a simple, God, thank you. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit because this song, because this word from your word was presented to me this morning. Take a few moments to be still before the Lord.